My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in my undergraduate studies in radio and television communications at Loyola University in Chicago, I had the opportunity one summer to work at the Franciscan Communications Center in Los Angeles. One of the most significant memories I have now as a priest came to me then, one time when we celebrated Mass at the center's soundstage. The beginning of today's narrative was the gospel passage for the day, and the words, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer," were etched in my brain so deeply that I truly felt, and to this very moment still feel, the gravity of the words of our blessed Lord. Every celebration of the Mass conveys that gravity of the Lord's eager desire to eat this meal with us. As we begin Holy Week, we must enter into His desire and share His urgency for what this meal accomplishes and how it conveys the action by which we are forever changed and saved by His most precious body and blood, sacrificed on the cross at Calvary and re-presented every time we come together around the altar until He comes again in glory. It is necessary for us to understand that in the mystery of salvation, we are called to the summit of charity and unity by Jesus, who ate with sinners. The Eucharist expresses that moment, makes His presence most vitally experienced in the community of believers. By this presence, with its overwhelming demands of charity and unity, the church is called to suffer greatly. The weak and the sinful church can sustain and be transformed by such a presence only through mortal struggle. The Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches us that the first announcement of the Eucharist divided the disciples, just as the first announcement of the Passion scandalized them. We hear in the sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" The Eucharist and the cross are stumbling blocks. It is the same mystery, and it never ceases to be an occasion of division and challenge. The Lord's question, "Will you also go away?" echoes through the ages as a loving invitation to discover that only He has the words of eternal life. The beautiful words of Vatican II's Pastoral Constitution on the Church, Gaudium et Spes, remind us, "The whole of man's history has been the story of dour combat with the powers of evil, stretching, so our Lord tells us, from the very dawn of history to the very last day. Finding himself in the midst of the battlefield, man has to struggle to do what is right. And it is at great cost to himself, and aided by God's grace, that he succeeds in achieving his own inner integrity." So it is that at that first Eucharist, filled with the desire to communicate himself most completely, Jesus recognizes the struggle of good and evil that will also touch those whom he loves most tenderly, his own apostles, his first priests. Jesus recognizes the hand of the betrayer who is with him at the table. As the dispute arises among the apostles, Jesus reminds them of their call to service. Only by following his example will they find the gifts of eternal life and reward. But further, he speaks to Peter of the demand of Satan to sift them all like wheat. This, of course, harkens back to the book of Job, and we recall the dialogue between God and Satan. God allows Satan to take Job, but to do him no personal harm. Satan goes forth and destroys all of Job's crops, his land, and even destroys his family. Job does not lose faith. Satan returns to God and says, Job is only faithful because God protects him. God allows Satan a second go at Job, only with the admonition, do not kill him. Satan releases miserable physical suffering upon the poor and broken Job, who still refuses to curse God and break faith. We must always remember that evil exists in the world today only by God's permission. There is only one power in all of creation, and that is God alone. There is not a God of the good and a God of evil. There is only one God, and he is only good. St. Thomas Aquinas wrote, "There is nothing to prevent human nature being raised up to something greater, even after sin. God permits evil in order to draw forth some greater good." So Jesus, in speaking to Peter, is speaking to all the apostles and to all the church. They will all be sifted by Satan. But Jesus speaks especially to Peter in telling him that he has prayed for him. Jesus himself has prayed for Peter. And that after Peter has returned, namely after his great temptation and denial, he is to strengthen his brethren. Jesus prayed for Peter. He did then, he does now. Peter grew strong after the resurrection in the power of that prayer, and he offers strength to all his brothers and sisters in Christ. Today, that strength is properly placed in the person of our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, the successor of Peter and the Vicar of Christ. As the physical leader of the church, he is the sign that no matter how difficult the struggle between good and evil, and how strong the assault of the evil one, in whatever disguise he may take, the Church of Jesus Christ will prevail. The powers of hell shall not prevail against the church that was born from the side of Christ on the cross. The struggle between good and evil sometimes manifests itself more brazenly than others. In our society, as secularism seeks to divest human culture of its sense of beauty, goodness, unity, and love that is found only in God, we once again celebrate Holy Week. The Church defiantly proclaims the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the only means of hope for humanity. Those who follow Jesus Christ must be certain and be brave in living his mission. The darkest of times cannot dim the light of the world. Evil does not triumph. It didn't on that first Good Friday, and it never shall. In the church, through the celebration of the sacraments, especially the Eucharist and the proclamation of the gospel, we believers know of our struggle to speak the word of truth in the midst of the world of lies and deception. Our faith is loyal attachment to Jesus himself, and through trust, love, and confidence. That kind of faith in Jesus can never collapse. Our Savior, by his cross and resurrection, has conquered evil and has given us the grace and courage to choose good and reject evil so as to live in the kingdom of heaven, to which may God lead us all.